In this sacred time of this conference, we are continuing the subject of the sanctuary series, but this time, having spent time in the past in observing God's character, God's way of dealing with sinners, we are this time going into what our response is to what we have observed, what has been looked at the character of God. We are looking at our responses, which is to walk in those ways. And as you look at your program, once you get it, you will see the different aspects of our program of meeting up with God's expectations, with God's way, walking in it. And I'd like to introduce this subject that we are contemplating in The Faith I Live By, a quote from the book The Faith I Live By, page 194, where we read that this beautiful psalm, which I'm going to be bringing to our attention again and again, Psalm 96, verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And Sister White comments and says, from the creation and fall of man to the present time, there has been a continual unfolding of the plan of God for the redemption through Christ of the fallen race. The tabernacle and temple of God on earth were patterned after the original in heaven. Around the sanctuary and its solemn services, mystically gathered the grand truths which were to be developed through succeeding generations. Now, did you notice what I just read? That sanctuary and its solemn services, there were gathered grand truths which were to be developed through succeeding generations. So this is a vast field that we are looking at here. And we've already spent 20 studies on that vast field. There has been no time when God has granted greater evidences of his grandeur and exalted majesty than while he was the acknowledged governor of Israel. The manifestations of an invisible king were grand and unspeakably awful. The scepter was swayed, but it was held by no human hand. There among the Hebrews, there was a king, and it was God in the sanctuary. And although they wanted a king afterwards, God was very disappointed in them, because he was the one from whom the government of Israel was to be governed. And it goes on beautifully. The ark covered by the mercy seat and containing the holy law of God was symbolical of Jehovah himself. It was the power of the Israelites to conquer in battle. The law of God enshrined within the ark was the great rule of righteousness and judgment. That law pronounced death upon the transgressor, but above the law was the mercy seat, and upon which the presence of God was revealed, and from which, by virtue of the atonement, pardon was granted to the repentant sinner. So, the seriousness of the law and pardon belongs together, according to what we just read there. So our study for the introduction of this camp is God's glory in the sanctuary. It is the character of God manifest in the sanctuary, which we as Seventh-day Adventists are meant to be able to understand and absorb, because it has been introduced to Seventh-day Adventists back there after, at the time of the disappointment and shortly after. And I'm going to keep on reminding ourselves of this, what was introduced back there. I'm going to read now from Great Controversy. You are all familiar with this quote, and it's Great Controversy, page 423. And I want to really hone in on this first part of that paragraph one. The subject of the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment of 1844. It opened to view. What did it open to view? A complete system of truth. It opened to view that broad aspect of the sanctuary and the unfolding doctrines that now, by the time of 1844, the Lord was bringing them up to every detail. Complete system of truth, connected and harmonious, showing that God's hand had directed the great Advent movement and revealing. Now here it is. This is the key of this whole conference that we have. It revealed something. Here it is. Revealing present duty as it brought to light the position and work of his people. Now those words, they ought to really bring us to attention, because as we study the sanctuary message, we are presented a complete system of truth. Every part of God's truth for us, as I introduced in the previous quote, we saw there a development of the broad spectrum of God's truth. And there it is, in the sanctuary, given to God's people, revealing to them this great, complete system of truth, connected and harmonious. And this is our greatest need, and I'm so sad to see how in general Adventism today, this broad spectrum is no longer brought before the people. This is what our conference is designed to bring to us now, that we are now looking at not only the beautiful character of God, but what was that? The position and work of his people and duty that is revealed. And the other statement continues down on page 424, paragraph 4, because when God showed them that great central truth, that great system of truth, the people of God were not yet ready to meet him. And I want to ask you the question, are you ready to meet him? The people of God were not yet ready to meet him. There was still a work of preparation to be accomplished for them. A work of preparation accomplished. Light was to be given, directing their minds to the temple of God in heaven, and as they should by faith follow their high priest in his ministration there, what? New duties would be revealed. another message of warning and instruction was to be given to the church. New duties were revealed. There it is, a repetition of that first bit, that great central, or the system of truth was to convey to God's people not only their position, but duties that he wanted them to pick up on. So, revealing present duty, new duties revealed, messages of instruction, and this is what the subject of this conference is about. Those new duties that were revealed. But did you pick it up as I was reading? As they follow their high priest by faith. Unless we are actually following Jesus, our high priest, we will not gather the correct perceptions of the duties that he places upon us. And so it is imperative to understand our duties by beholding Jesus. And I can't emphasize that strongly enough. I have seen too long throughout all my experience in those in the ranks of Reformed Seventh-day Adventists that they will reform to the duties that God imposes upon them, regulations. I still remember in the councils that I was sitting, we've got to tell the people the regulations of God. Yes, but I was waiting for something better than that. It is beholding Jesus that is going to bring us into harmony with his regulations. There in the sanctuary, our high priest is working. Let's come to Psalm 63. And please, let's not just brush over this, because in Psalm 63, we are brought to a spiritual, affectionate appreciation of the sanctuary. And young people, you know, it's not just don't do this and do this and do the other thing. It's a relationship with Jesus. And here it is in Psalm 63, 1 to 3. Here is a person who had a deep relationship with God. O God, thou art my God. Right? A relationship? You are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There's the metaphoric expression of dryness of spirit. I want moisture. I want experience with you to see thy power, and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Oh, don't just read those words and say, oh, isn't that sweet? Are you absorbing it? This concept, how closely are you entwined in your relationship with God, with Jesus? This is what it's about. Not just do's and don'ts. It is something to do with your affections towards God. God's glory affects us by beholding. What was our scripture reading? We behold his glory. Where? In the sanctuary. And as we behold his glory, his loving and wonderful character, that is to be the motive to change our behavior and practices. So that as we read God's regulations, God's directions, God's ways for us to walk in, we are not merely looking at do's and don'ts. And I'm really anxious that we pick this up, every one of us. Let's go. We know so well what that glory is, don't we? I mean, when Moses said to God in Exodus 33, "Show me your glory." We often think glory is bright, beautiful light and power and something to excite the emotions. And God walked past him and showed him his glory. What was it? His wonderful character. Let's actually read the character of God there in Exodus 34. So you realize what we're looking at. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And this is again expression of it, but as we've been studying of how God deals with sinners and how God deals with the wicked after the 1,000 years, we've gone into that detail already. Let's read verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering. And abundant in goodness and truth, long suffering. He suffers me for such a long time. He waits for me. Long suffering, gracious, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty." Now there is a sort of an, and that we've studied it, haven't we? God's long-suffering, patient kindness for us in giving Jesus as the Lamb of sacrifice for us. And as we absorb that, then he introduces to us his requirements. And how people respond to that is going to show to us that he is working to produce something in us. But the people that reject it, the people that reject his mercy, what is that? Then comes what we've studied in the last studies of dealing with the wicked who rejected his grief, his wrath. As it says there, by no means will he clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, until the third and fourth generation. And Sister White makes a beautiful little statement here. She says, "It is true that God will by no means clear the guilty, but he would take away the guilt." He won't clear the guilty, but he wants to take away the guilt. The character of God is something that fascinates me. It just brings bubbles of joy into my heart, as the psalmist expressed it there. And so I want to read this beautiful quote from Sister White in You Will Receive Power, YRP. And notice closely here everything that we are reading so that you can pick up some important, personal, comforting sensations from the Lord. I'm reading from page 59, paragraph 4. And here comes the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit never leaves unassisted a soul who is looking to Jesus." So you're looking to Jesus, and now what? The Holy Spirit is there to assist you. Follow closely. The Holy Spirit takes of the things of Christ, his sacrifice, his beautiful, merciful way of taking away our guilt. He takes of the things of Christ and shows them to the seeker. So here we are in this conference. We are going through details, and the Holy Spirit is needed to show us. Are we seekers here? He comes to show them those beautiful things to the seeker. And if the eye is kept fixed upon Jesus, the work of the Spirit ceases not until the soul is conformed to his image. The Spirit of God stops not. The Spirit of God is at work to bring us into harmony with God's requirements. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And the Spirit of God, notice what I just read there? If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will keep on working. Isn't that what I just read? If the eyes is kept fixed upon Jesus, the work of the Spirit ceases not until the soul is conformed to his image. That's our scripture reading, changed from glory to glory. Through the gracious influence of the Spirit, the sinner is changed in spirit and purpose until he becomes one with Christ. His affection for God increases. Here is the affection. We have it to begin with, and we, what a wonderful God, you have died for me, and my affections are now to increase, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do this, to work on our affections, to increase. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, and by beholding Christ, he is changed from glory to glory, from character to character, and becomes more and more like his Maker. Brethren and sisters, we're at different stages here. Each one is at different stages. But the Lord is at work to bring us as quickly as possible, because Jesus is soon to come. And what did I read? Unless we are changed into what he wants us to be, we will not be ready for there. So the Holy Spirit is here to show us the glory of God for one purpose, to bring us into the same character, to bring us into the same way of life, into God's ways to walk in. This is to be our focal point, and this is the design of this conference, that the Holy Spirit may be poured upon us for a purpose. Not just to have a beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but to be poured upon us for a purpose. And here it is. Last Day Events, page 188, paragraph 1. Notice here. The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings. That's what we are having here. This is a convocation. Young people, this is a holy convocation. What is it designed to do? The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain, which is, my doctrine shall fall as the rain, Deuteronomy 32. When the way is prepared for the Spirit of God, the blessing will come. Satan can no more hinder a shower of blessing from descending upon God's people than he can close the windows of heaven that rain cannot come upon the earth. Can you see what our convocations are meant to achieve? That the Spirit of God will so come so that it will change us into his image. And there, as we are conducting this conference, This is the design. Another quote from the Poulsen Collection, PC, page 138, paragraph 3. Drink this one in too. 138, paragraph 3, Poulsen Collection. Give to Jesus your devotion where he is in the heavenly sanctuary. Our study is the heavenly sanctuary and the earthly sanctuary pointing to that. Give to the Lord your devotion where he is in the heavenly sanctuary. Seek for the Holy Spirit as his representative wherever his people bow to worship him. Here we are. We are here. You're not just going to listen to a man speaking. We are reading. We are letting the Spirit of God apply the word. We are here to worship before him. It becomes us to know Jesus. Now here comes another important expression. It becomes us to know Jesus by experimental knowledge. You see, as you're listening to the word, you're getting the theory, but as the word of God is being conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit, it's meant to penetrate into our experience, to examine ourselves according to what is written there, and let the Holy Spirit, as we keep focused on Jesus, as we keep focused upon him, that we actually let the Holy Spirit bring about the changes in us. We should be gathering up, what should we be doing? We should be gathering up every ray of divine light, not looking to old Jerusalem where Christ was once, but to the new Jerusalem where he is now. That's an interesting statement. So many ministers go to to Jerusalem of old, and then they take you through what Jesus was doing there and so on. No, Sister White writes quite a lot about that. The ministers are not to do that. They are to uphold Jesus in the heavenly Jerusalem, and that's right here now. To a new Jerusalem where he is now. Let us be gathering from the tree of life that God has planted leaves that shall be for healing of the nation, and fruit, precious life-giving fruit, as food for the soul. So what are we to do here? This is the design of this conference. Search with prayer, most earnest prayer, to know what God has written. And I bear no apology here. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to share with you the word so that you are praying, Lord, show me your way. I want to know what you have written, to trace the footprints of Jesus in his life of perfect obedience to his Father's commandments. We're reading here what we're meant to be doing here. Endeavor to catch the inspiration in expounding the word, the sure word of prophecy, that it shall not be as a dead letter, but a living, burning, shining light from the throne of God, preparing a people to endure the trials and sufferings and persecutions which Christ endured. As we proceed through this conference, we will see material that will be a cross to the natural man. But we will see what God is telling us, and the Holy Spirit looking, encouraging us, and as we look to Jesus, it will get intensify. I pray that we will be in tune with that. So, where is it that we're going to see that glory? Where is it that we're going to see these details, this whole system of truth? He is in the sanctuary. There, our high priest, he is doing things so that as we behold him there, where God's way, Jesus, the way, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am that way. There, Jesus, God's way, glory. We're studying the sanctuary carefully because thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Thy character, O God, thy way. And we are admonished. Let's go to Joshua 22. Joshua 22. And we read verse 5. Now listen to the language. This is God speaking. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in, how many? In all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave to unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. For worship this morning, we were confronted with what the Sabbath school lesson says. We are not just to be hearers of the word, we're to be doers. With all your heart, do it diligently, all his ways. And that's why, as we study the sanctuary, we want to discover ways that are all his ways, not our ways. Psalm 128, again, letting the word of God speak to us. This is why we are reading and reading and reading. It's sometimes a bit tedious, isn't it, young people, to sit down and let the Word of God do the talking. We sometimes, as you're going to hear, we want no strange fire. What is strange fire? Entertaining stories. We want the Word of God, the pure Word of God. We're going to be reading that. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Blessed, happy, is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. This is a way of life. It is walking in his ways. Blessed and happy are those that do that. And here is the promise. There is a precious promise that when we do this, this is what our design is at this camp. We come to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And we read there verse 25 to 27. Notice what God will do when we do this. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Continuing through to 27. Right? When we do this, what we have just been reading, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. And now notice, my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Here is the plain promise. If you open your heart to everything that we're receiving from the hand of the Lord, we're going to be taken with a change of heart. I'm not going to be discussing, oh, do I have to do this or I have to do this? I'm just listening carefully. What do you want me to do, Lord? And as my heart is changed, I'm going to be moved upon by his Spirit, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and my Spirit is going to guide you into all of God's ways, into all of God's statutes. Now, I want to just conclude with something very important now, because this is an important issue that many people, they make a beautiful idea of how God is so kind and loving to us, and he's died for us, and we just bask in how kind he is, but we miss these elements of walking in his ways. Because if he's going to change my heart, and he's going to do what he just promised here, to put his Spirit within me and cause me to walk in his statutes, there is something in us that's going to go, hey, wait a minute. What is he going to say? What is the person going to say? Let's go to Isaiah 55, because here is the caveat. Isaiah 55. That you would be prepared, that if you're going to open your heart to God, there's going to be a bit of a struggle inside of you, because here it says in Isaiah 55, starting there from verse 6, he says, seek the Lord. We're here to seek him, aren't we? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. What's that? Let us forsake our way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Wow, that goes into deep inside of us. What about my thoughts? Forsake the thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's such a wonderful God, isn't it? But then notice here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. I've read this many times, haven't I? But are you picking it up inside of your soul? If the Lord has given you a heart that wants to obey him, there is a struggle, because he now wants you to follow all of his ways, and it's different to the ways that you are familiar with. Please understand this. I see this time and time again in the ministry. Oh yes, people love to hear the powerful word, but when it comes to practice, oh, it's so different to what I'm used to. Read again with me Psalm 71, verse 19. Psalm 71. Be prepared that as we look at God's ways to walk in, we are meeting something that is not our natural way of life. 71, verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. And who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? What was that? Your righteousness that we are trying to reach is very high. Very high, and not comfortable to our flesh. Not comfortable to our old habits. And may I add, because if you want to follow that and it's against your own fleshly ways, you're going to meet that if you put it into practice, your friends and relatives who are not submissive to that will say, what are you doing? Their flesh can't agree with it. This is what we have to be prepared for. In other words, it's all a cross. And you ought to remember this. As God's ways are conveyed to us, prepare your mind It's going to be a cross. Let me read it to you directly from the Spirit of Prophecy, Testimony Volume 1, page 525, paragraph 1 and 2. Sister White writes here, Testimony 1, page 525, it says, something must arise, something must arise to lessen the hold of God's people upon the world. You hear what it said? Something must arise to lessen your God's people upon the world. Then she says, we're going to be studying this. She says, the reformed dress is simple and healthy, yet there is a cross in it. I thank God for the cross and cheerfully bow to lift it. We have been so united with the world that we have lost sight of the cross and do not suffer for Christ's sake. Did you pick up what's meant here? If you're going to pick up God's ways, you're going to have to suffer in the flesh. And that's the part that causes people to balk. Is God really saying, I've got to do this? Oh, and I hear the people reasoning. Well, what about this and what about that? Isn't that a little bit too far? And so on and so on. Yes, the flesh is not comfortable with it. But God is saying it. This is my way. It's a cross. We should not wish to invent something to make a cross. But if God presents to us a cross, we should cheerfully bear it. How should we bear it? Cheerfully. How can I bear a cross cheerfully? Well, I see Jesus bearing my cross. And that will give me cheer. Jesus is right there in the atonement with me. That's why I love the atonement. Because Jesus is right there, uplifting the cross. And as we come to this conclusion here now, we're going to meet a challenge. And I want to put you right on the track, right from the beginning of this conference. If you are a born-again Christian and you have diligently decided to make your choice to follow God's requirements, He's given you a new heart, hasn't He? What did we read there? Taking away the stony heart and following in all His ways. You've been born again. You've been conceived. Your prayer and your choice is, let's read it, Psalm 25. Psalm 25, where we read from verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways. This is the language of the born-again Christian. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. This is the language of the born again. This is the language. And let's go again to Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The language of the newborn person is, well, Lord, show me your ways. I'm keen to learn what you want me to do. And if it's a cross, that's fine. I won't argue. I won't get into discussion with you, Lord. Okay, Jeremiah 6. There's a very interesting statement here in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Where is it? In the heavenly sanctuary, isn't it? God's way. And then walk therein, and what will you find? You will find rest for your souls. Now, this is what God says to the people who have given their heart to Jesus. If you've been baptized or you're planning to be baptized, then this is before you. what is being entered into at this camp. He says there, ask for the old ways, as we just read in Psalm. Show me your ways, teach me. That's what he's going to be doing with us here. And then he says, and walk therein. So this is what the theme of the conference is, walking in his ways. But now there is a company of people that say this. But they said, we will not walk therein. As we study at this conference, the ways of God, we're going to meet the mind of the world that says no way, and the way and the professed Christians that love God but don't want to obey Him. Strange that. Loving Him means to obey Him. I mean, He loves us. So here is the other class. And what is the answer to those who said, I will not walk therein? Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But, what? They hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And there is so much that is written about this, that there are people who do not, they want to be, you remember that's written in Isaiah, that there are seven women that say, I want to be part of you, but I want to do my own thing. And here is the lament of God. Isaiah 65. This lament that he has, because he has given his son to work a change in our life. And if we keep on clinging to our own ways and say, no, I'm not going to go that far. That's going too far. Do I have to change this, that, and the other thing? That's the flesh speaking. So Isaiah 65 verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. See how the word of God is coming together here? Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. The thoughts, the ways. Here is God introducing us to this conference and saying, please don't be like these people. I'm reaching out to you. He's reached out to all Christianity. And is Christianity doing what he says he wants them to do? Are we? And so we proceed very carefully here. Hear his voice. Let's read it again. Hear his voice. Proverbs 23, 26. We are here to hear him speaking. And as we study this carefully, after this afternoon, we will have a question and answer time, which after the next message, we will be able to engage in to make sure that we are getting it right. Psalm 23, verse 26. Sorry, Proverbs. What am I saying? It's Proverbs 23, verse 26. Here is his voice. His, you know, remember when we read the Bible, we're coming into a audience with God. We are following God's word speaking to us. Psalm 23, 26, where he says, my son, what's that? My son, you who claim and who have been born again, you become his sons and daughters. What is that? my son, give me your heart and what? Let your eyes observe my ways. We have something to choose. Let us submit. And I like that word, yield, to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Yield. Remember that we read? The Holy Spirit is here. As we keep our eyes focused on Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary, he's there to apply it. And we are, it's up to us now. Is the flesh going to have its way, or is God's going to have his way? Yield to the workings of the Holy Spirit. And then what is the last statement I'm going to read here? The manuscript releases, volume 2, page 12, paragraph 5. The grand truths of the Bible are for us individually. That means each one of us here, young people, older ones, individually, to rule, to guide, and to control our life. Do you like that sound? To rule, to guide, and to control our life. For this is the only way in which Christ can be properly represented to our world in grace and loveliness in the characters of all who profess to be his disciples. Nothing less than heart service will be acceptable with God. God requires the sanctification of the entire man, body, soul, and spirit. And here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit implants the new nature and molds through the grace of Christ the human character until the image of Christ is perfected. And this is true holiness. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in connection with everything we've just read and studied. So this was an introduction to what we are prepared to place ourselves under. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to let God tell you what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing? What was that? What did I read here? That we will let him do what? Rule, guide, control your life. I hope and pray that we will keep our eyes focused on Jesus, because only as we do that will we let him rule and control and guide our life. May God bless us that we will understand what we're letting ourselves into. And you remember what I said in the introduction during the week, that we have to brace up because we're going to cover something which is not natural to our human choices or ways of the past. I do pray the Holy Spirit will guide us, and let us conclude with a prayer on that matter. Shall we kneel together in prayer?